You're listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
Good morning. I want to first wish my mother, she's sitting in the back today. I want to wish her a very happy Mother's Day. You're such an encourager. You have paved the way to show me how to be a wife, a mother, a caretaker, and a best friend. Thank you for loving me so well. I want to wish every one of you a happy Mother's Day, whether you're a biological mom, a stepmom, a foster mom, someone that is an aunt that takes care of children. You're all considered some type of mom today, and I just want you to know how much I love you and appreciate what you do. If you're not told that today, I want you to know that I see what you do. And I appreciate you, but more than anything, he sees what you do. How many of us as moms have said at least once, Lord, prepare me. Prepare me for this season. Prepare me for what I'm about to walk into. I know there are moms here today without their children. Maybe there's some of you watching online that are without your children today, and that is so hard to prepare for. I don't think there's anything out there that could prepare us for that. And there's just some things that no matter how much we prepare, we're never truly prepared for unless we turn to the Father first. I'm a prepper. I love to be prepared for everything, and I want to prepare everyone around me for everything because I don't want anything to catch us off guard. It's a blessing and it's a curse, and I think I've driven my family crazy over the years. But there's just some things that we can't prepare for: losing a spouse, a cancer diagnosis, addiction. All of these things that I just sit here and wonder, man, that woman has so much strength to have to endure that. And I think about moms and everything that we go through on a day-to-day, and I read this. It said, a mom and dad were watching TV when mom said, I'm tired, I think I'll go to bed. She then proceeded to the kitchen to make sandwiches for lunch the next day, rinsed a few dishes in the sink, and took meat out of the freezer for the next night's dinner. She checked cereal boxes and set out bowls and spoons for breakfast. She put the last load of clothes in the dryer. She stopped by the desk to write a note for the teacher and counted out some cash for snow cones. She grabbed her phone to add two more items to her Kroger delivery. And then she checked backpacks. And as she heads to wash her face to put on her night cream and her age-fighting moisturizer, she flossed and brushed her teeth and remembered the dog needed water in his bowl. She took one last look at the kids and turned off the lamp for the oldest, who fell asleep reading. She sets her alarms and says her prayers. Her head hits the pillow, but then she remembers one of her children need to wear red the next day. So she gets up to find the shirt, takes a deep breath as her head hits the pillow once again to try and shut her mind off. Does this sound a little familiar? Mamas are tired, y'all. They do a lot. But Jesus said so very gently in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One of those burdens that I see a lot of you carry around is guilt. Mothers face an endless source of guilt. The greatest sense of guilt you face comes from within, as you never feel like you truly measure up. Our culture doesn't make it easy either. There's so many opinions out there. Some of them are you're either neglecting your children if you work, and you're lazy if you stay home with your children. You are poisoning them if you fix them processed food, and you're denying them if you don't give them sweets. You're putting your children in danger if you let them play at the community park, and you're smothering them if you keep a watchful eye out. And I could keep going. The pressure on mothers begins early, and it never gives up in these days. At every turn, there is a plethora of experts trying to tell you what you should be doing to raise a healthy and successful child. If you don't have them trained by 2 months to sleep through the night, and you're meeting every developmental milestone at every doctor's appointment, you feel like a failure. You must put together this magically themed birthday party and enroll them in every possible thing so they can find their passion, right? We got to keep up because there are so many social influencers out there sharing their opinions, and those racket of voices would not be as bad if us moms wouldn't buy into everything they are selling. For moms, the temptation is to find your identity and worth in what they are sharing on social media. And falling for this temptation will lead to two terrible consequences. Either you will feel like you have succeeded and become puffed up with pride so that you look down on everyone else around you like, Or you will believe you have failed and you'll fall into despair and isolation. In addition to this, you put burdens on yourself and your children that neither of you can bear. And this leaves you empty inside and very critical of yourself. But Jesus, he invites us to come to him. He invites those weighed down with guilt and expectations to come to him, to lay down your burdens in his finished work for us. I want you to get that today, his finished work. He has finished it. Matthew 11 serves as a reminder that we serve a compassionate Savior. He knows what it's like to be tired, overwhelmed, and discouraged. When I was raising my two that are now 27 and a half, they're twins, I remembered many, many days reciting, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." There were many lonely days, many days that I just didn't know. I didn't know what I was doing. We don't all have a handbook to know what we were doing, but I did know where to run. And I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But you know, being a mom made in God's image, we are someone that requires strength and softness. And to have the two, it's kind of hard sometimes. There's a scripture in the Bible that reminds us that we are made in God's image and how we can be soft but strong. And it's in Hosea 13:8. "Like a bear whose cubs have been taken away, I will tear your heart out. I will devour you like a hungry lioness, and I will mangle you like a wild animal." You mess with my babies, that's what I'm gonna do to you. Sorry. We are protectors. We are made in God's image to be protectors, but we are also made in God's image to be a comforter. And in Isaiah 66:13, it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. My God is both the strong, steady rock of ages, as well as the soft cushion of a comforting mother." We are made in his image so we can be a warrior for our children, but also a comforter when needed. And we're also disciplinarians. Some of us are disciplinarians. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Don't fail to discipline your children." Discipline is not a bad thing. You know, gentle parenting, I get it. We can gently discipline our children. And verse 15, this is a good one to share with your children. It says, "My child, if your heart is wise, my own heart will rejoice. Everything in me will celebrate when you speak what is right." These are things that we need to be teaching our children each and every day. And our text today is going to be found in Acts chapter 12, if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bible or on your devices. And as you're turning there, I want to set up this story in Acts chapter 12. There is an extraordinary mom that sits right in beneath these pages. She appears in the most dramatic story about the emerging church, you know, after Jesus' resurrection and the disciples coming to their senses and sharing the gospel after deserting him. You've probably read this story a lot of times and just looked over her. But the setting is Peter has been imprisoned by Herod because of his teachings about Jesus. And Herod wanted to shut down Peter's influence. Peter is about to go to trial. And we find in verse 5, "But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Now, earnestly means with sincere, intense conviction, not just to pass by, oh, Lord, touch Peter. They were interceding for Peter and his release. People had gathered in a place to pray. Verse 6. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. It sounds like angels are a little like us as moms, giving all those orders. Sounds like we're getting a kid ready for school, doesn't it? Peter thought that it was a vision and this could not be real. But soon the angel left him. And in verse 11, Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent the Jewish leaders. The Jews have saved me from what the Jewish leaders had planned for me." And when he realized this, this is what the verse I'm getting to. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. And there she is, so quietly tucked away in this story that we can just look over sometimes because the main characters are important, but this woman is just as important. Mary, the mother of John Mark. Somewhere in between school, maybe middle and high school, I became that person when I walked in the room, "Oh, there's Caleb and Kendall's mom." That's what I was known as, and I didn't mind it. I don't like titles, but that's one title that I didn't mind at all. And I'm sure Mary didn't mind it either. We only know her as Mary, the mother of John Mark, but what I read, you can see that she was a prayer warrior. She was holding a prayer meeting in her home. Her home was a house of prayer, despite the risks that were taking place. And what's even better is Peter knew right where to run. He knew where this prayer meeting was going to be taking place after he had been in prison, and he ran right to the home of Mary. This was a time where Christians were being persecuted. And, you know, as I read, and I have to add, because we don't have all of the things that I want to know as a woman, but Mary had to labor hard to raise her son in the way of the Lord. I'm sure she shared scriptures with him, introducing him to Jesus, literally, and being careful who surrounded him, and also by living a pure and holy life before him. I believe that Mark saw the dedication of his mom, and he saw how she pursued personal holiness daily. He also saw how his mom not only made her temple a sanctuary, but her home a sanctuary for others in the body of Christ. I believe all these factors helped build the faith of John Mark. I also found an interesting fact that's tucked in a little before Acts in the book of Mark. It's in chapter 14, verses 51 through 52, and it's Mark's account of the arrest of Jesus. And at the end, it says, "One young man following behind was clothed only in a long linen shirt. When the mob tried to grab him, he slipped out of his shirt and ran away naked." This is only found in the book of Mark. So here is my speculation, and others, that when Jesus and his apostles left the home that night that they were meeting in, and it could have been Mary's home or it could have been another home nearby, Mark would have been a young teen at this time. He wrapped himself in a sheet and he followed them. He heard Jesus praying, saw the disciples desert him, and almost got caught by the guards who arrested Jesus. And if that was the case, it would explain how we get the account of Jesus' prayer and struggle in the garden when no one else was there. We were told that the disciples fell asleep, but maybe, just maybe, Mark was lurking in the shadows listening to Jesus' struggle. He followed the one that his mom was worshiping because he wanted to know a little bit more about him. And as he hid in the garden, he watched Jesus' prayer and struggle. Now, I know that's an opinion, but that's how I read this about Mark in his book that he only added and no one else. You know what? He heard the conversations in his home. He heard all the prayers. He was intrigued. And we don't know much more about this mother in Acts 12, but we do know a lot about her son. You see, he went on to write the book of Mark, the shortest of the four Gospels. It's an account of the earthly life of Christ. What a privilege to have your son as an author. He was used as a source by also Matthew and Luke when they wrote their Gospels. And he is also mentioned as a fellow worker with Paul and Barnabas and considered a very valuable collaborator in ministry. He was known as Mark the Evangelist, and his book really emphasizes Jesus' miracles and deeds. Mark's book was written to strengthen the faith of its readers. And without question, his life reflects the influence of his extraordinary mom. I'm sure Mary proclaimed the promise from the Old Testament as we have in Proverbs 22:6. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. You know, we can train our children. We can walk a blameless walk. We can see that they are in church every week. We can have family devotions, and we can point them to God's word. But as we prepare for all these things, we cannot make the decision for them. We have to raise children that can make that decision for themselves. And the Bible tells us how we should influence our children to make this decision. Deuteronomy 6:5, Rocky just spoke it up here, and I'm going to reiterate it again. Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. So I want to ask you, how are you living out your faith before your children? And what can your children say about your Christian life behind the scenes? Mary pointed her son to the right path. And I want to challenge you today to rise up beyond your circumstances and grow in your faith so you can pass on that biblical baton to your children. When I think back about raising my children, there are times that just stand out. You know, I was preparing them to depend on God and showing them day in and day out how to do that, but you're never quite sure if they're getting it. Although painful, some of my favorite memories are the times when they had the biggest struggles. I saw the most growth in those times. One of those moments with Caleb was when Knox was born. Being able to be in the room with Michelle and Mariah and the nurses, it was such a privilege to be there. I looked across and saw the excitement and fear and concern and care on Caleb's face for Mariah in that moment. I also saw the helplessness that all the fathers feel when they can't do anything to help. I saw him so tenderly care for Mariah. It reminded me of his father when he so tenderly cared for me and our twins. But then some complications arose, and he had to go to the NICU while they took care of Mariah all alone to be with his newborn son. Rocky and I couldn't go with our son, but we knew we had pointed him to the one that we had taught him about so many years that would go before him and prepare him to be strong. He had the tools to pray and trust God with all of his fears, all of his doubts, and I saw his strength just magnify. We got to witness the strength in Caleb and Mariah as they faced some unknowns. And all of those years raising him prepared him for this hard moment. And I'm not crazy to think there won't be more hard moments than there already has. But God is preparing him, and he's continuing to prepare him. Also with Kendall, my baby girl, she struggled a few years ago with anxiety and panic attacks. I wasn't prepared. I had never walked through this. But all I knew to do was to speak the name of Jesus, to recite scriptures and remind her she would overcome, that God would not leave her like this. She was made for such a time as this, even though I didn't know what it would bring. We just had to keep pressing on. I remember multiple times during a panic attack to tell her to breathe, just breathe. You've got this. And when I finally was at my wit's end and needed rest and help, I asked her earthly father to step in and help me carry this load. You see, I was trying to protect her. And I didn't want a lot of people knowing, but it was time that her father stepped in. And it was like the Heavenly Father just stepped in the room and took over. I found rest as a mom. And that was a turning point in her battle. She worshiped, she prayed, and she got her breakthrough. So fast forward to this past February. I had signed up for a CrossFit competition, as you've heard all about our CrossFit shenanigans. But I wasn't quite ready for it, or didn't think I was quite ready for it. That morning, I felt weary, I felt worry, and fear set in, thinking, what have I done? I am 51 years old. Why do I think I need to be in a competition? But I followed through. When I sign up for something, I follow through. And I began that race, and as we began to run, and I came to the first exercise in lunges, I heard Kendall's voice saying, Mom, breathe, breathe, you've got this. Every time she would get close to me, that was her words. Mom, breathe, breathe. I'm like, I'm breathing. She said, you got this. And in that moment, in that moment of pushing and pushing, I was still overcome with gratitude of this reminder. Two different battles, but she remembered the wisdom I gave her, and she used it to help me. I remember pushing her to get up and face the day, and now she was using it to help me push through a mental and physical battle. That is a priceless memory for me. And in raising our children, for a brief time, we were the main characters of their story. As the Lord prepared us, we did prepare them as parents. We had so much togetherness, so many teachings and memorable times. Don't take it for granted, because we knew it wouldn't last forever. The days of just the four of us would pass. We tried to prepare for that, but time is a thief. The times are so short. And although I would do it all over again, I have to say that parenting adult kids, it's fun too. And being a Grammy is just an added bonus. And what joy it is to listen to them as they stop by the house and tell me stories about their day. They remember stories about growing up and the things they enjoyed, and also the parts that they think we could have done better. We still try to create a safe place to learn, because even with grown kids, we all can still learn. And when they look back, I really, really hope they see a childhood that wasn't perfect, but filled with a love that is steady, one that carries us through as we all continue to age together. Today, even though we aren't the main character in their story, I'm just thankful to be a small part. I cherish every time that I'm with them. I see the wisdom that they are filled with, and I smile, as I know Mary, Mark's mom, must have felt when she listened to Mark tell all of his stories. I'm reminded of a verse that I want you to listen to and remember today. Ecclesiastes 7:8. Finishing is better than starting, and patience is better than pride. Don't be too prideful to ask for help. Find rest, and no matter how you started, just finish well. I know we've all had different starts in life, but what's required of us is once you have the wisdom and the knowledge that you finish well. Jeremiah 17:7-8 is, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. Stay green. Keep producing that fruit, that good fruit that we've all been given the privilege of giving. Keep trusting God and let Him build your confidence, not these social influencers. There is a scripture that was made into a song by our former pastor, and I find myself singing this scripture. I'm not going to sing it for you today, but it is, "Search my heart, O God, know my thoughts and all I do. Change me now and make me, Lord, more like you." Because that's the only way that I could get through a mothering is being more like him. So Jesus is calling. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Fully surrender to his will and his ways, and you will see the tension release and joy fill your heart once again. If you pray and trust God, he will prepare you for you to prepare those that have been given to us." So I'd like to say today for you that as a tired mom, come to Jesus and find rest today. Overwhelmed mom, come to Jesus and find peace. Guilt-ridden mom, come to Jesus and find forgiveness. Proud and judgmental mom, come to Jesus and find humility and compassion. And whatever you're discouraged about today, whatever temptations that you may have, whatever fears, if you just come to him, you will find the help you so desperately need. And we will all become a living sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And as the Lord prepares us, I just feel the Holy Spirit telling me that there are some of you without a mom here today, whether she's living or passed on. And I want to first say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that mom didn't raise you well. Or maybe she hasn't come through with some of the promises in your adult life. I'm so, so sorry that you've had to go through that. But God will supply someone else, whether it's an aunt or a spiritual mom or a grandmother, that will show you the way. And I just want you to know today that even though she's not sitting beside you, you are loved and you are cherished. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for, as I prepared for this message, you met me so tenderly. Lord, you showed me faces of the moms in this room, the moms that are weary and tired. God, we do good works. We do all the things that you've called us to do, but it still takes so much out of us. Lord, today I hope that each woman feels filled back up with you, that she finds time in her day, not just today, but every day of the rest of her life, to find these special moments with you, to just be tucked away in a story that we don't have to have a title, but only like Mary, the mother of John Mark, if that's all that we're ever known for, that is enough. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of raising such beautiful beings, Lord. Lord, parenting never stops, as you tell me. And Lord, we just have to figure out how to parent differently, but help us to continue to seek wisdom, your wisdom, Lord. And as I just pray over this whole congregation, that there may be fathers out there that are carrying the weight of mom and father, Lord, bless them today. Lord, I'm just so thankful for your word that tells us that we can come to you and find rest, that we can lay down our burdens and fully trust in you, because your yoke is easy and the burdens that you give are light. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. And I pray over the moms today that they feel loved and cherished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.